It looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor. I have no defense. But that's when mercy walked in.
And mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Called to the stand, God's saving grace.
The blood was presented
that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in.
I stood there and wondered, how could this be, that someone so guilty had just been set free? My chains were broken. I felt born again. The moment that mercy walked in,
and mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand, God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in.
The
blood was presented that covered my sin.
A shield from every tempest. He's an anchor that is sure. In times like these, it's good to know that
God is my refuge. Strong and mighty tower that I can run to. God is my refuge. Without Him, what would I do?
Shelter just ahead, I could not see those dark clouds so heavy with rain. against me. But he called out and I ran to him, and now I am safe from the storm. For God is my refuge, a strong and mighty tower that I can run to. God is my refuge. Without Him, what would I do? Strong and mighty tower that I can run to. God is my refuge. Without Him, what would I do?
I want you to go ahead and get your Bibles ready, if you will, and turn with me. We'll be in the New Testament in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and also in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Now, we'll be reading 2 Corinthians 11 first, and then we'll be going to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. That's where the Lord has sort of got me for this hour, and I didn't know exactly. I had some thoughts this week about what the Lord would have me to preach on, and the Lord sort of steered our heart in a different direction after the service last night, and I jotted a few things down, then slept well. I hope everybody else slept well last night and got up this morning and just sort of put some things together that I hope will be a help and encouragement to you. There's one thing that we need in this world. We'll never get away from it, and that's the help of God. We need the help that the Lord gives to us, and I'm thankful for our young people and our college and career and the small ones, the older ones. I'm thankful for everybody within the church, but this has been center-focused toward our young adults. And again, we want God to use you, and God's already using you in a mighty way, those here at the church. And you've got to understand, and I've made this statement for years, but the church, a lot of folks say, well, hey, our young people is a church of the future. I disagree with that. The young people of the church are right now. Yes, they are part of the future, but they're the church of right now and getting folks involved. And I thought about last night, and boy, our kids, you know, they listen, they pick up on things. And Brother Pope got talking about that, about Jonah last night and the great fish. Christy said, you know, Gracie made it pretty good through the service until Brother Pope talked about the great fish. And Gracie leaned over to Christy and said, goldfish. Goldfish. Gracie was eating last night some goldfish, but man, I'm telling you, our kids, they get a hold of things and pick up things, and I hope you'll pick up something that'll help you in your walk with the Lord, because there's a lot of experience way beyond my years here in our church. Of course, Brother Polk's been around a few years, too. He's a little more seasoned than I am, but I tell you what, you look around at some of these saints of God that have blazed a trail. Some of them are leaving here, and boy, we need a new generation to step up. And I agree with Brother Pope what he said last night. I'm glad the devil ain't got them all, and I'm thankful for you to be here this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, if you found your place, if you could stand with us in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word, and then we'll go to 2 Timothy momentarily. But I want you to just see this out of the Apostle Paul's life, and I promise we'll be going somewhere with this, I hope, if the Lord will help us. But if you could gather a summary of the Apostle Paul's life, I want you to listen to what he lays out by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 22. We could call this the biography of the Apostle Paul, but look with me, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse number 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now, as we read this text, I want you to think about this for a moment. This is basically a summary of the life of the Apostle Paul. We see where the Bible said that 5 times in verse 24, he's beaten. Verse number 25 said 3 times or thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. And that word perils is danger. He talks about that a whole list in verse 6, in perils of water, his own countrymen, heathen, in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, among false brethren. Pretty much, brother buddy, everywhere Paul went, he faced problems. He faced trouble. And that's a summary of his life. But notice verse 28. He said, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Probably the greatest missionary that ever lived was the Apostle Paul. He had the burdens of all these problems, but he had the spiritual burdens of these churches that he birthed, that he planted. He won people to the Lord. And there was a great burden that was rolled upon him. You say, man, that was a burden. That was a big burden to carry when you think about the summary of his life. Yet turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Paul never raised his hand in white flag surrender. The Bible said this in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Amen. Well, I love this phrase. We use it oftentimes at funeral times, but the Bible said, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Now, who is that speaking? Now, we understand the supernatural agent is the Holy Spirit of God inspiring the Apostle Paul to pen this down. But the Apostle Paul that we just read about the biography in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, all those things he endured, all those things he faced, he didn't quit on God. And the Bible said there in verse number 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Let's pray. Father, as we bow, God, in your presence, Lord, again this morning, saying thank you, Lord, that you are our refuge, God, a very present help in time of trouble. And God, I didn't know what they were going to sing, and they didn't know what I was going to preach. But Father, I beg and I plead, Lord, for the next few minutes, God, you'd loose us and let us go. Lord, I confess that I'm nothing. Lord, you are everything. Do a work that only you can. I pray that you'd save that sinner that's nearest hell. Help the saints of God do a work now, Lord, that only you can. We'll be careful to give you thanks and praise for all you do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people. People saying, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. We've read this text. The reason I sent you to 2 Corinthians 11, first off, is for you just to see a summary of the Apostle Paul's life, all these things that he faced. And yet we get to 2 Timothy, and when you get into 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and the book of Titus, that's what we refer to as the pastoral epistles. There's one phrase over there in 1 Timothy chapter number 3 where he lets us know how we're to behave ourselves in the house of God. When it comes to qualifications in New Testament church, what it's to be founded upon, we use the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and the book of Titus. But 2 Timothy is Paul's most personal letter. We think about this, we call it his swan song. This was the last letter that he would pen down by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God before he would give his life for the cause of Christ. And in spite, young people, of all that he faced, he comes back and he tells us this. He said, hey, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, and I've kept the faith. You know what he didn't say? I could have kept the faith. I could have finished my course. I could have kept the faith. He didn't say that. He didn't say, well, I should have finished my course. I should have fought a good fight. I should have kept the faith. He didn't say, well, I would have kept the faith. I would have finished my course. I would have fought a good fight. He didn't say that. He said, I have. There's a difference in saying I have or I could have, I should have, or I would have. In other words, the Apostle Paul didn't have any regrets when he got ready to leave planet Earth. If I could preach on a thought this morning, Brother Danny, it'd simply be this: no regrets. No regrets. There's been a lot of times, Brother Keith, in my life where I've had regrets. There's been a lot of times where things, if the things I should have done that I didn't do, I regret that. Then the things that I shouldn't have been doing, I found myself doing. Brother Lee, and I regret those things. But God sent me by to remind us, and it may just be me, that when we get to the end of life's road, and we don't know when that's going to be, but we shouldn't have any regrets back behind us. I think about a lot of times when years ago as a child, my Papa Josh, Brother Adrian, remember this, out behind his house, he had honeybee gums. And those bee gums sit right next to the road. And I remember one day, and I guess it was during the summertime, me and three other of my cousins, we were all the same age. And we were there at Papa and Granny's house, and we went outside. It was in the, probably around midsummer because the apples were still green. They hadn't, them little striped apples, Brother Adrian, hadn't turned red yet. And they were still green and immature, but we shook some of them off of those trees because they some time of year, those bees will build on those bee gums, and they sort of hang off of it, sort of like mud caked on it. But I don't know what that process is called. Somebody might be able to tell me, but there was a certain time of the year they would just clump together on the outside of those bee gums. Well, you know, in our adolescent years, I didn't have a whole lot of sense. And the four of us decided it'd be a good idea, number one, to pull off some of those apples and shake them off the tree prematurely and try out our baseball pitching skills. So we began to start throwing at those bee gums, not even counting the cost, not considering the consequences. We thought we were far enough away, but finally that one of those apples, I don't remember who threw it, we were all involved, one of those apples had a direct hit on the bees, and they fell off on the ground. But son, they didn't stay on the ground. They come right back to where we were. Now, when we were all running to the house hollering and crying, we began to have to confess what we did, how we got all those bee stings. Then, listen, our front side was hurting with the bee stings, but our back side got to hurting when we told them what we was doing. Number one, we were pulling off, wasting apples off the tree. Number two, we were messing with Paul's bees. We got wore out, son. And I look back, I had some regrets over that. Daddy and I, years ago, were down on the riverbank, and I'm going somewhere with you. Hang, just give me a little bit of latitude right here. We went down one day. We used to set fish baskets. I used to make fish baskets. We'd catch those little bullhead catfish on the Yadkin River. And a certain time of the year, you get into late September, early October, there was something that was called possum grapes. And the reason they're called possum grapes, because they was up in a tree. And they grew on a vine. And Brother Evan, sometimes the best grapes were way up high in the tree. Me and Dad were down there. He probably remembers this. I know I sure do. We were down there. A lot of times you could pull on the vine. If you pulled it hard enough, it'd break loose up top, and that whole vine would come down. You'd pick those grapes, and you'd be ready to get a bucket full to throw in those baskets. Well, there was this vine about the size of my arm. I was jumping up and down on that thing, and it wouldn't move. And I don't know, Daddy was probably trying to give me some advice to just leave it alone. But, man, I stayed after it, and I got to jumping up and down. I threw my legs up in there. And finally, when my legs got up about right here, I put a big old yank, and it broke about right here. I don't believe I could have hit the ground any flatter than I did, Brother Keith. Daddy said, "You all right?" I said, "Just let me lay here a minute." Had to get the wind back into my lungs because I fell down and I regretted doing it. I said, "Man, I shouldn't have grabbed on to that vine." A few years ago, right here at the church, Brother Buddy, back in the spring, I went. The office is upstairs, and I went out and I noticed, Brother Evan, there's a little bitty yellow-tailed wasp that had built a nest about the size of a pencil eraser just outside of the door jamb. And I seen him there one day, and I said, "Well, I'll get her as a queen." I said, "I'll get her one day." Well, I come back out, went back the next week, and there's two or three on there then. And, well, I forgot about it. About 2 or 3 weeks later, I went up there one Sunday morning, man. I was in the spirit, ready for church to begin. And I opened that door, son, and when I did, one of them hit me right there. I mean, almost on a temple in the side of my head. And hit me. I mean, stung me. It hurt. It was still hurting by the time I got in here for preaching time. And I regretted that. You say, why? Because I put off something I should have did. If I'd have took care of it early, it wouldn't have bit me later, but that's exactly what I got. But we all could say we got regrets. But not many, now there's a few, but not many could echo what Paul echoed in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. He said, I have. He didn't say I could have, I should have, I would have. There's a lot of us that make a lot of excuses in life, and there's a lot of regrets that time wouldn't permit me to tell you about. But I want you to avoid some of those things as you go through life. I don't want you to regret doing something from God that you should have done. But there's regrets in life, but Paul didn't have any of them. But you know, think about this. God wants the best for my life. He wants the best for your life. Now here's a fact. Brother Buddy, God didn't call you to be like me. Brother Danny, God didn't call me to be like you. We're to be the best version of ourselves that we can possibly be. You say, well, you know, I really don't have the same gift as it. Well, that's all right. Because, listen, God puts those gifts together, puts you in a local assembly, puts you in a local church. And when everybody's doing what God wants them to do, it's like a well-oiled machine, man. God using this one and that one. And you say, well, I really ain't that significant. I really ain't that big. You know, the Lord likened the church into a body. Now, you've got little parts of your body. You say, well, that little finger right there, it ain't that important. You cut it off, you see how important it is. The tongue, one of the smallest members of our body, yet James chapter number 3 lets us know it's the world's most powerful weapon. The little parts of our body are important, and when one of them is injured or not pulling its own weight, it affects the whole body. And you see, if you're not doing exactly what God wants you to do, it affects the whole body. It could affect a Sunday school class. It could affect our young adults. It could affect our youth. It could affect the whole body of a local assembly when people are not doing what God wants them to do. And a lot of them say, well, I would have, I could have, or I should have, but I didn't. And you'll go through life if you keep that mentality and you keep throwing up the excuse card about why you can't do this or why you can't do that. And I'm sick of that, man. People come and say, well, I can't, never could do anything. But Philippians 4:13 said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I tell you what you and I need to do. We need to tap into some power from another world. I'm telling you, God can work through us. I don't care how small you are, how little you are. I think about folks that are littered in the Word of God. You go all the way back to Moses. He was a stutter. Noah, he was a drunk, yet God used him. Gideon was a coward. Esther was an orphan. Rahab was a harlot. Miriam was a gossiper. Zacchaeus was a runt. He was short. Abraham was old. Sarah was impatient. Thomas was a doubter. And Lazarus was dead. Hey, if God can use that crowd, He can use me and He can use you. God's not interested in your ability. He's interested in your availability for service. But if you don't serve Him, even right now in your younger years, there'll come a time when you're going to make you'll have regrets over things you should have done, you could have done, you would have done. I want you to be able to say like the Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. There's three illustrations here. There's three glimpses or imageries that are laid out in our text, and they start with S. He used the illustration of a soldier. He used the illustration of a sport. And then he used the illustration of a steward there in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 7. He said, I have fought a good fight. There is the soldier. I finished my course. There's the sport of the runner. And then he said, I have kept the faith. There's the imagery of a steward that's been entrusted with something. These three areas that we better lock into and understand, because too many at some point or the other will have some regrets. A lot of times we like to point the finger, well, it's this one's fault, it's that one's fault. If I had a better position, if I had a better place, but you got to remember Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer, yet God used him. I'm of the opinion, I say this often as well, we ought to bloom where we're planted. We ought to bloom where we're planted. God made us for a purpose. He told us in Matthew 5, we're to be the salt of the earth. We're to be the light of the world. God didn't call you to be somebody. Be the best version of yourself. But Paul said, hey, we need to be a good soldier. We need to be a good sport in the life, which is a race. It's likened to that numerous times in the Bible. But we're to be a steward. But look at these three principles that he said here. First off, about the soldier, he said, I fought a good fight. Now, Paul had already told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 12, he said, fight the good fight of faith. The Christian life is a battle. It is a struggle. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Now, listen, it's the greatest life that you can possibly live. But you've got a target on your back. Just because you're saved, the enemy's not going to leave you alone. Man, you've got a big target on your back when you serve the Lord. He can't get your soul, but he can damage your testimony. He can try to pull you away to minimize your influence as a child of God. But listen, there's going to be some battles, and there's going to be times when we're going to get punched. Amen. I think about this. I shared with our young people, I don't know, a couple weeks ago on a Wednesday night, some of them will remember this, it was in here. But many years ago, and I wasn't live during this, but thank God they got recorded here. I like reading about sports and different things, but there was a heavyweight fighter by the name of Rocky Marciano in 1954, world heavyweight champion. And June the 17th of 1954, he entered into a battle with a fellow by the name of Ezzard Charles, E-Z-Z-A-R-D, Ezzard Charles. He was a big guy. Heavyweights going at it. And that first bout, Brother Lynn, in June the 17th, 1954, lasted 15 rounds, and Rocky Marciano retained the World Heavyweight Championship. Well, Ezzard Charles, he made a pact. He said, man, I want another rematch immediately. And sure enough, 3 months later, September the 17th, 1954, they matched up again. There's still video of that on YouTube where you can watch it. Those two matched up again 3 months later, but a little bit had changed. Ezra Charles put on some more weight. He got bigger, and he got stronger in those 3 months' time, and he was the bigger fighter as they come in. During the sixth round, they was going back and forth, and Ezzard Charles was getting the best of Rocky Marciano. In the sixth round, had a bad cut and a gash over his nose and over his eye. They said blood just covered his face, couldn't hardly see. And his trainer came in and said, man, if something don't change, we're going to have to stop it. Well, he continued to get pummeled in the seventh round. Finally, by the eighth round, they said, hey, and word was around all around the ring that, hey, if something don't happen after the eighth round, they're going to have to quit because he was bleeding so bad. Well, the eighth round, they told him that he may have to quit if he didn't do something different. Rocky Marciano came out, and he knocked Ezzard Charles out cold in the eighth round of a 15-round bout. At the post-interview, they asked him, they said, man, Ezzard Charles was bigger than you. And he said, that's right. He said, Ezzard Charles was faster than you. That's right. Ezzard Charles laid you open and kept knocking you down. He said, what was the difference? Oh, Rocky Marciano said, I kept getting up. I kept getting up. There's going to be times when you're going to get punched. There can be times when you'll go down and the devil's waiting on a 10 count, but you got to keep getting up all by the grace of God. Keep on pressing forward. There's going to be things that people's going to do to you. People going to say to you. Things are going to happen. They're going to befall. It ain't time to quit. It ain't time to raise the white flag of surrender. It's time to bury down deep and to stand for the cause of Christ, because I don't want you to have regrets down the road because you didn't stand. You got to be able to fight the good fight of faith, and Paul talked about that. But then second of all, he said, I finished my course. There's a course that God set out for the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said, hey, I finished that. Did you know God's got a course for you, Brother Buddy? God's got a course for you, Brother Evan. God's got a course for you, Brother Jeremy. All of us, he's got a course for, and it's up to us to finish it. He equips us. He gives us everything needed, everything necessary to accomplish the task that is before us, but it's up to us. We can pray for one another. But there's times when we have to put legs to our prayers and finish the course that God has given to. You know what we need today, man? I mean, we need some stickability. We need some heavenly resolve. We need that strength from another world. Because again, in this thing called life, which is likened unto a race, there's times where you're going to get hit. In 2021, August the 1st, 2021, there was a runner. It was a Dutch runner. I think it's like Sifan Hassad was her name. She was a Dutch runner in the Olympic Games, and they had one of those preliminary heats, Brother Holly, where they had to, that the top three, only the three in that heat would advance to the medal round. Well, it was a 1,500-meter race, and they got down as about 380 meters from the finish line, and the girl that was right in front of this Sifan Hassad tripped and fell, taking her down as well. She's at the back of the line, but immediately she popped up, and they had about a 30-meter advantage on her. She took off. She passed the whole crowd and crossed the finish line first. She went on to win a gold medal in the 10,000 meter. She won a gold medal in the 5,000 meter. And she won a bronze medal in that 1,500 meter in Tokyo, Japan in 2021 Olympics. But she fell down, but she got up and she finished the course. That's what we got to do. I'm not here to tell you some sob story, because there ain't no sob story to tell you. Since I got saved, man, that's the best life. I can't even imagine living a life apart from a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Pope talked about last night 37 years. Well, I got 26 years with Miss Christian. It keeps getting better and better and better, and I can attest to that. But it wouldn't have been better if we didn't know the Lord. But in this thing called life, there's times when you're going to get knocked sideways. You got to pick yourself up and finish the course. Why? Because I don't want you to say, well, you know, when you get down to the end, I should have finished my race. I could have finished my race. Well, I would have finished the race. No, let's be like the Apostle Paul and settle it right now that by the grace of God, I'm going to finish the race that God set before me. Amen. I'm going to fight a good fight that is before me. But he finishes up here with this third illustration. He referred to a soldier fighting a good fight. He referred to a sport, a runner that finishes the race. But then he talks about a steward. He said, I have kept the faith. Now, you could go to, I believe it's 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, the Bible said this: hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in you. In verse 13 of 2 Timothy 1, Brother Keith, he said to hold fast. Then in verse number 14, he said to keep. He's given advice unto a young preacher by the name of Timothy. He said, you got to hold on to this thing. You got to keep this thing that has been entrusted unto you. And Paul said, hey, I have kept the faith. Now listen, Paul wasn't puffed up. Paul wasn't high-minded when he laid out this here. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. He's saying, by the grace of God, there's no regrets in my life. That's what Paul is saying. You read Romans chapter number 7, Paul was made out of the same stuff we are. You say, well, Paul was super spiritual. But listen, he was made out of the same stuff you and I are. Think about Elijah. Some folks say, well, you know, I just can't be as spiritual as Elijah. You read the book of James, man, he was a man after like passions as we are. Made out of the same stuff, yet he called down fire from heaven. And Paul in Romans chapter number 7, he said, you know that thing, Brother Evan, that I should be doing, I find myself not doing. And that thing that I shouldn't be doing, Brother Dan, that's what I find myself doing. It was a constant struggle. It was a constant battle. But Paul said, hey, I've held on to what's been entrusted to me. 1 Corinthians 15, the verse 4 verses of 1 Corinthians 15, he lays out the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection that was delivered unto him. Paul became a steward. God had given him something and entrusted him with it, and he had to be faithful. He said, man, I've kept the faith. Now listen, folks, there's things that you're gonna face, young people, middle-aged folks, senior, it makes no difference. You'll never be a time where you can sort of take a breath and say, well, I have arrived. Ain't none of us arrived yet. Ain't none of us reached the pinnacle yet. We all a work in progress. We sing that little song, He's Still Working On Me. Well, if you're honest, He's still working on every one of us. He's trying to get those old rough edges knocked off down here in life. But we've been entrusted with something. If you're saved, you're to be a steward. Will you keep the faith? Or will you get sideways? Will you drift away? Will you get fully in or just in and out, up and down? Amen.
Come on, brother.
Listen, I tell you, our young people, man, you got to keep your nose clean because understand a lot of our churches today, they're depending on you staying faithful, fighting a good fight of faith, finishing your course and keeping the faith, keeping your life unspotted from the world. And it's a constant struggle. It's a constant battle. But I don't want you to have any regrets one day and say, well, I would serve God, but I could have, I should have, I would have, but I didn't fight a good fight. I didn't finish my course. I didn't keep the faith. I don't want you to have any regrets. I want you to be like the Apostle Paul and say, by the grace of God, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course and I have kept the faith. But there's things that's going to try to pull you away. You know, they tell me, Brother Buddy, there's something that's called an alligator snapping turtle. I mean, them are wicked dudes, Brother Keith. I mean, heads on about the size of both your fists. Now, what's interesting about that snapping turtle is this. I mean, they're not going to overpower somebody. They're not going to overpower a fish or a frog or a snake. You look that up, if they're in a pond or they're in a river, what they'll do, they'll back up. They'll move that tail and their feet, and they'll dig out a place where they can get in back in that bank, and then they'll shake and get that mud to cover them up. Or they'll lay down at the bottom of a river and they'll shake and keep moving around and keep pulling dirt around it, and they'll be covered up, and they'll expose their mouth. And there's a little white worm-looking thing on their tongue that'll sit there and wiggle. And you can see, there's pictures of, you can look at it. They'll be in that bank of the pond, or they'll be in the bottom of the river, and man, all you see is that little bitty worm-looking thing just wiggling around. And what it'll do, a little unsuspecting fish comes by, and he said, man, there's supper. Yeah. Little old fish comes down, and he's enticed, and he's pulled over there because it's going to satisfy his hunger. That spirit or that appetite, and he goes in, and by the time he gets to what he thinks food, then that big old alligator snapping turtle closes them jaws on him, and he's done.
Come on, bro.
Ends up in the stomach of that turtle. Then those fish regret that they ever got that close to their enemy. But you know, the devil does that to every one of us. There's enticements. There's deception. I've often... And we see, if you look up, and a lot of people got this mentality, and they think, well, you know, the devil, he's red, and he's got big horns, and he's got a pitchfork, and he's red. That is not a picture of the devil. If you could picture the devil tonight, he'd be the most beautiful creature that you've ever seen. 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter number 11 or 12, talks about Satan being transformed into an angel of light. Get this, kids. Listen, the devil won't come to you and he's pointing a bazooka or an M16 or a shotgun at you. You'd know to run away from that. He paints that beautiful picture in front of you because he wants you to stumble. He wants you to... First of all, if you're not saved, he wants to condemn you to a place called hell. And there's no excuse for anybody to die lost, man, because Jesus paid it all. Thank God he died for your sins. I don't care. You say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. Man, I don't care what you've done. It makes no difference. I'm here to tell you on the authority of the Word of God that thank God the blood of Jesus was sufficient not to wash part of your sin away, but thank God wash it all away. Listen, you say, man, I've got some bad stuff. I've got some issues. I got some problems. Well, honey, just join the crowd. But I'm glad, thank God, when you come by faith to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's the only thing I know that'll take the needle out of the addict's out of the arm. It's the only thing I know that'll take a bottle out of that drunkard's mouth. It's the only thing that will change a life. It's the only thing that'll turn this world upside down just like it did back in the book of Acts. I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus has not lost his power today. He's able to save sinners. He's able to help the saints of God. But I don't want you to end up in life and say, you know what, preacher? I've got regrets because I could have finished my course. I could have fought a good fight. I could have kept the faith, but I didn't. I would have, preacher, I would have fought a good fight, but this one or that one, no. Don't have those regrets. Go on with God. Fight that good fight of faith as a soldier. Finish that course as a sport runner. Then keep the faith as that steward. And one day, you'll be glad that you did. As Sister Savannah comes this morning, we're standing all over the house. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed for just a few moments. As we stand, I'll give you what I feel like the Lord has given to me. There may be somebody here today that maybe you're dabbling in things you shouldn't be dabbling in. And maybe somebody here that's not dabbling in anything, but you may be here in the near future. But if you've got a need, God sent me by to remind somebody, I don't want to have regrets. I don't want you to have regrets. The Apostle Paul, you can look at his life, 2 Corinthians 11. 5 times he's beaten. 3 times he's shipwrecked. In perils of water and his own countrymen, problems on every side. If anybody had a reason to give up, I guess it would have been him. But there in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. No regrets. You got any regrets today? Now listen, you can't go back. I didn't come in here today to try to rub old wounds, man. Listen, you can't go back and change yesterday, but you can make a commitment by the grace of God from this day forward. Lord, I want to be faithful. You've entrusted me with something. I want to be the best version of myself that I can possibly be. Maybe some maybe need to make that decision today. There may be some here today, maybe you've never been saved. Listen, Jesus loves you and He died for you. And He wants to save you during this hour if you'll come. Let's pray. Father, now I love You and I thank You, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to share Your Word. God, I've done my best to empty myself of the message of the hour. God, help us not to have those regrets when we come to the end of life's road. Father, I pray for that one that's in a fight today. I pray for that one that's been knocked down in the race. I pray for that one that God is being enticed, being pulled away, getting ready to be in the jaws of that big snapping turtle. God, I pray today You'd help them to get strength from another world. But God, above all, if there's one here that's lost, never been saved, God, may this be the hour that they give their heart and life to Jesus. Lord, I pray that You'd do all the will of God now, and we'll give You thanks. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation. They prepare for retirement. They seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday. For the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You must understand that your good words and good works and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing. all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, they said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You might ask the question, preacher, how can I be saved? That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16 and verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me? But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, broken in a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. If God draws you by conviction, if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them, if you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by his marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here. And may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.